Hey everybody, welcome to episode 25 of It's Just Bodybuilding. I'm here with Dusty Hanshaw, myself, Big Ron Partlow. On today's show, we got Coach's Corner, all sorts of questions and insights, and a little bit of life wisdom on It's Just Bodybuilding.
It's going to be a lot of life wisdom, Ron. A lot of it. I can feel it today.
Yes. So I guess here we are. We got a no-guest episode. We have a lot of fun on these ones. Remember, like, subscribe, and then what? Share, comment? There you go.
Well, definitely give us some courtesy comments.
You know? Yeah, courtesy comments.
Sympathy, you know? Comment. Yeah.
Come on, guys. You can do it. You know? So let's deal with the most important thing first. You shaved your beard.
Yes. Some of you guys know I played hockey back in the day, and before the playoffs start, you got to put the fresh shave, you know?
Oh, you blade right down to the skin.
All the way down. Yeah. So Saturday was the first day on the blast. Hi, Harvey. So Harvey said to me, you know what, dude, if you're going to really go into this season, you need to shave. So I busted out the Quadro.
Yes.
Five, yes. Razors, whatever five is. And
because four wasn't getting the job done.
No, I used to be a Mach 3 guy, right?
Well, I remember then, the Gillette sensor was just fine.
And then when you get to five, you're like, well, it's like having a lawnmower. I shave my legs with this thing. Shit that women teach you. I was like, five is better. So, That's funny. We went down to that, got that done. And, you know, I mean, typical of me, it'll take like 2 weeks before I have a full beard again. No one will ever know this happened. So, you know, but right now there's a lot of this going on. Because you don't want to drop the chin, because then you see all of the chins. And that's not good. That's the whole purpose behind the beard for me, is to hide my fat.
Just remember that back in the old days, it was actually very attractive to be kind of fat, like a king, because it meant you were wealthy and had an abundance of food.
So I'm here just saying, it's not that you're ugly, Dusty. It's you were born in the wrong generation.
Yeah, you know, maybe there's women out there that'll appreciate, you know, your obvious wealth.
They definitely do appreciate it, and they take it. Anyway, I digress.
You give it to them, Dusty.
I do. It's a dumb process, for sure.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I just got back from a trip. Right. I had a week away at I was shooting Mutant on a Mission, two episodes.
How'd it go?
It went amazing. Fantastic way to start season six. The first episode was kind of a last minute idea, because my buddy opened a gym. Also your buddy.
Our.
Yeah, Morgan Sharp. He opened Max Out Muscle in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So at first I was like, well, he's my friend and it's a brand new gym, so we can't do an episode there yet.
Right.
Right. Like, I didn't want to look like I'm just, you know, doing my friend's gym, you know?
Yeah.
But then as I helped Morgan, I sort of helped him with the process a bit, you know, obviously gave tips, and I helped him get all the hammer strength that he has, because that came out of a gym out here. sort of realized that gym is a direct product of the show, because he's a fan of the show.
Right.
Huge fan of the show. And then I've helped him for all these years.
Right.
And then he came out and trained at West Coast.
We should post a picture, was awesome. By the way. During
yeah,
this
we
part,
will. We'll put one
picture, because he's a freak.
And then, you know, he went back to his city after training at West Coast, and he was like, oh, man.
This is not going to fucking work.
I need to do my own thing, because I want to have, like, my own thing. And then, obviously, he's a huge fan of Dorian and the whole Temple Gym concept of just having a place for you to train. And if other people happen to like it, that's cool.
They happen to roll it, it's fine. If not, fuck it.
So that's what that gym is. And because it was such a direct product of the gym, and fits the spirit of the gym so well, we went and did an episode, and it's going to be fantastic. So your buddy, Travis.
Yes, trains there.
We told everyone, he kind of told all the members, come down while they're filming and train.
Right.
Because we want the gym to be packed and have people screaming and yelling. And,
right.
Because you know, it's a real small space, but it's loaded with Atlantis and Hammer.
Right.
And it's like, everyone's yelling. It's awesome. So everyone came down to train while we were filming.
Right.
And Travis, your buddy, pulled 8 plates for 4 fucking reps with no belt.
Just, you know. Well, farmers do what farmers do.
Yeah, you know? He was funny because, you know, he pulled 7 a little while ago and that was like a big deal. And then he throws 8 on and we were talking to him before the set and he goes, well, I mean, all you have to do is stand up with it, so it can't be that hard.
Well, that's what I love about deadlifts. So I always say that. You pick it up, you put it down. I mean, like, or you don't. I mean,
or you don't.
It is what it is. Like, it goes or doesn't.
Yeah, so we got that. So it's going to be a great episode with, like, a lot of members training in it, which is kind of, I like that. It adds energy. So should be a good one. And then we switch gears and go to a very well-known gym for episode 2, Mark Bell Super Training. And had a blast. I got to say about Mark Bell and his team, they are very, like, very professional. And, you know, like, I'm talking to Mark about maybe doing an episode, and then all of a sudden his assistant is messaging me with details. Right. And they're just sending a car to pick us up and ba-da-da-da. You know, like, they're just really great. Right. And then you get to the office, and it's like, got a, I don't know, probably a, I'd say a Google feel to it, you know?
not what people would think when they're thinking Mark Bell, Super Gym.
Well, no,
as
no.
As far I mean, as what he trains and what.
Oh, no, I just mean like the office doesn't have a corporate stuffy feel at all. It's like super, like everyone's just rolling in, you know, with their hoodies on and
right.
You know, it's super cool. And then the gym's right there, like
right,
you know, right behind the front store. And, so, you know, we had a great time at that gym. It was cool because we did some box squats.
Right, I saw.
And that's with the SKWAATS, right? Squats. So we did some box squats, and we used this fucked up bar.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I've never used one of those.
Yeah, and Mark grabs a bar, and he puts it on the monolift. He goes, this bar's from Westside. When I left, I bought it off Louis.
Right.
And I was like, fuck, you know, I love that shit.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so I got to use a bar from Westside, like an original Westside bar from the old days.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so that's just kind of cool. Like just the shit like that. I try to make sure I appreciate that stuff because like some people don't, they don't stop to like, you know, it just, I don't know.
But I think that's what makes the show, you know, is because sometimes with some of those gyms, it's where the bar come from or who owned this, like Dino's. Well, you know, Dorian was trying to get this piece and I got, you know what I mean?
He outbid him.
Yeah. Okay. She's coming down. Sorry. I got 2 now.
Yeah. So, no,
Harvey's a little pissed because Donna's up here with me.
Look at Harvey her. And
Look at
Donna.
That face.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the new addition to the family.
That's right.
Donna.
And they keep each other busy. So she can't be up here with me while he's on the ground. It's not going to fly. I don't run this place. I just pay for things.
Yes.
Some things never change.
No.
So back to your event, though. I also saw that you then did their podcast.
Yeah. So I went on the Mark Bell Powercast, and holy shit.
Yeah. Very similar to ours, but a little bit different. Hey, I'm going to have to run them in the other room, or this is never going to end. Give me 2 seconds.
Funny.
I'll be right back.
We're very dog friendly.
You can see this. Come here. We're back.
And then Rusty returns.
Huh. She's a little vocal one, so, you know.
Yes.
I was on, and I'm like, this isn't going to end.
No, that's good. I'm glad they have a, you know, I'm glad you have a little family going there, Dusty. I'm happy for you.
The only ones that put up with me.
So, I went on their Powercast, and that's like the Joe Rogan show. Like, they have, like, the best microphone in front of you.
Right.
You know? And the headphones, you know, they like seal everything in. So you just, it sounds crazy. And then they've got a whole row of cameras hanging from the roof, all aiming at the different people. Right. So, you know, and then, you know, Andrew's back there. He's like Jamie on Rogan, you know, he's like directing the show. And then every once in a while, the camera cuts to him and he'll ask a question. Like it's got the exact feel. Like it's, you know, like any smart person knows, copy the best.
Yeah.
Right.
You make a living copying. I can't remember who was talked about that, but that's one of the best ways to make money is copy people.
You know, and I actually, you know, Mark's what they did differently though is instead of sitting at a table, they were standing in front of like a backdrop, so it's a little cleaner looking. Like, you know, Rogan has like knickknacks all over his desk and little conversation pieces, and like you know, Mark only has a couple things. It's like a little more clean. I like the how it looked, how it sounds. Right. So technically, it was like the most you know, the highest quality shit you could do. Right. And then the funny thing was is we went for 2 hours and 40 minutes, which I had no idea we were on that long, and I blame the kratom. So I get there. It's 8 a.m, first of all.
Which for you is early because you're already there. You're not getting that.
Yeah, so I pounded 2 coffees just to try to like be somebody, you know? And I get there and we start broadcasting, and then about like, I don't know, a few minutes in, I drink this Kratom that they give me.
Right.
And I don't know if like Mark goes, you won't feel it, but you'll really like it. And I was like,
I've used that line before. Right? You won't feel it, but
I left really that like hanging. It. I left it. That was the alley-oop. So I drank the Kratom, and I don't know if I didn't feel it hit me, but I was in like this unbelievably good mood for hours.
Right.
I don't know. I'm in a good mood often. I'm a pretty happy guy, but it was like, I just like, it was, I think that I might have felt that.
Yeah, that might have been, not feeling might have been a lie. Got it.
And yeah, and well, you know, you think all the opiate, like a lot of the opiate addicts are saying it helps them come off and like get off their addiction. You know what I mean? Right. So it's got to have some kind of effect on you.
Right.
But anyways, had a great time. Oh yeah, and then I drank the Kratom and it tastes like shit.
Ah.
So then I'm like, well, I need a drink now. So they give me a fucking Monster. So I've got
coffee, you know, coffee, Kratom,
two
Monster.
Cups of coffee, a Kratom, and then a 300 milligram Monster.
We might find that you talk really fast during this episode.
There is two hours 40 minutes of talking. Yeah, exactly. So it was they know how to drug you up on Mark Bell.
Can you give us some hints? Like, what'd you guys cover? What'd you go into?
He asked me a lot about bodybuilding, you know, like,
really?
We talked a lot about bodybuilding and the philosophy of training. And I tried to kind of get how I'm like, I'm not big on being formulaic. I'm big on concepts.
Right.
You know, and how the stuff that matters is like the 5 main things. And that's like 99% of it. And then the other 30 things that people worry about is like 1%.
Right.
You know, yeah. That sort of stuff. And we just had a really good time. Mark and his team, and Seema there, the other co-host, they ask really good questions, and you could tell they're really thinking ahead, like they're good hosts, because as you're answering, they'll look down and make a note.
Right.
And right away they have another question because they're trying to stay ahead of you, you know?
Right.
Which is, you know how it is, right? You got to kind of do that. So, they just know what they're doing. So it was a really good visit. They took good care of us. And then, Dusty.
And then.
I did something that I'm ashamed of.
Emily's in the other room. Be careful.
Yeah, she's not listening.
What? Nobody listens.
So I click the link. And just kidding.
I didn't know.
So I consider myself a professional traveler.
Right.
We do it so much.
Yeah,
how many fucking flights have we taken, dude?
Right.
And what do you think of someone who misses a flight?
Yeah. Sorry, a name came to mind, but sorry, Frank.
When you hear someone miss their plane,
what the fuck? Yeah, how did you do that? Name. You know when it's leaving. You know when you need to be there. It's not that fucking complicated.
Let's go really fucking early. Like, if it's bad traffic, leave 3.5 hours before your flight. There you go.
Yelling at dogs.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Like,
mute and yell. No, I don't understand that. I've never understood. Because to me, I would rather be at the airport and just sit in there chilling for 2 hours if I have to.
I can
just
chill.
Like, I don't care. I don't understand the whole, like, okay, well, I have to get my bags there 45 minutes before, so we'll leave the house and give us 3 additional minutes to make it.
It's fucked up. So I think people that miss their flights are just so irresponsible. I have no sympathy for them. I'm just like, you fucking dummy. Yeah. How do you miss a fucking flight? Like, how reliable are you? Like, I scorn them. I'm very judgy with that shit.
I'm judging in general, but go ahead.
So now I got a little fucking comeuppance.
What happened?
A taste of my own medicine and missed a fucking flight.
But why?
So every time I've ever gone to Sacramento, I've flown Air Canada direct.
Right.
Vancouver to Sac, Sac to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Been there a few times.
Yep.
On this trip, because of the scheduling and the hours, the return flight was booked on Alaskan Airlines because I wanted to get home that night.
Right.
And it's got a stopover in Seattle.
Right.
So I just forgot that I was coming home on Alaskan. So when I went to check my flight, I just scrolled to the last flight on my itinerary.
And didn't even look at the airline.
And it says 9:15. And I'm like, oh, I got to be at the airport at 9:15. It's 5:30. And I'm like, I'll just leave now. I'll have 3 hours to eat and work on my phone, and I'll be so early.
Right. You know?
So I head to the airport. I get there at 6:15, walk up to the counter. The 9:15 flight is the Seattle to Vancouver flight.
You needed to get from there to Seattle.
I needed to be on the 6:30 flight to Seattle.
Oh, fuck.
And it's 6:15. So the plane hasn't left yet, but I'm not getting on it.
Yeah.
So I asked the girl, I go, if I go over to that window, can I watch my plane take off?
She said, yep, and you can cry.
It took her a second, and then she like realized I was, you know, making fun of myself, and then she started laughing. But I was pretty fucking, I was so pissed at myself. So I had to pay $125 change fee, get out on the 9 a.m. flight, and then go book a hotel room for $200, you know, my own money.
Yep.
And go sit in SAC for a night, sit on my phone, like just fucking, I was so
just
pissed.
Just a waste.
Yeah. So I wasted the whole day of Friday. I was supposed to be home Thursday night at midnight, and I got home Friday at 5 p.m.
Oh, God, that's terrible. You know what, though? Everyone has that thing, that dumb moment. I did the same thing over the summer. How about this? I missed a flight while I was in the airport.
I've heard of guys doing that.
I literally went. We had time. Stopped to eat in Denver, and looked at the boarding time, and said, "Okay, I'm gonna eat. I'm eating. It's taking them forever to get the food. Whatever. I'm not worried about it." Finally, I'm like, "Hey, that I got a board here in 15 minutes. I better roll. You know what I mean?" So I get pay, run out the door, and by the time I get to the gate, this particular airlines closes the door 15 minutes early. Plane sits there for 15 more minutes. Door is shut. Fuck you.
Right.
So I get there and I'm like, hey, that's my plane. They're like, yeah, we closed the door. I'm like, yeah, well, open the fucking door. Doesn't seem to be too difficult. They don't, it's not even that someone's in your seat. It's just fuck you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, when's the next flight? And they immediately say, oh, yeah, next flight is tomorrow.
Right.
And I'm like, no. I got to be there. They're like, no, it's tomorrow. So I had to pay $1,000 for 2 seats to fly. 1 second. I'm going to kill this dog. When I mute, can you still see I said shut the fuck up? Oh,
it's so funny.
Okay. Yeah, so anyways, we have a puppy, and apparently closing a room just means they cry the whole time. So I'm going to have to contemplate how this works in the future.
It's not actually bothering me. I'm like totally fine with it.
So you can hear the constant squeaking in the background? How loud is that?
Yeah, a little bit. It's not, I don't know.
I'm going to open the door and let them fight.
I'm pretty patient with dogs.
This isn't ending. Yeah, but I'm going to kill someone. I'm going to kill them.
I know.
I'm going to kill you.
Dusty's got a new baby in the house. He's not getting his beauty sleep. He's going to be, he's going to have to keep that monk-like.
This is how I see it. I see this as I am so cool, they don't even want to be in the other room.
Well, no, it's...
It's got to be that. It's got to be that I'm cool. I don't know why everyone else left. But anyways, the four-legged animals stick around. I digress. Anyhow, so yeah, so how about this though, Ron? I'm gonna show you how bad a missed flight can be. So I fly on Southwest now to the city I'm going to in Pittsburgh. And when I get there, I've already been told your bags went on the plane we wouldn't let you get on. So your bags are there. You're fine. Okay, so I arrive, call them, because no one is at the airport. Your bags are locked up. They're in quarantine, basically. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, somebody can come open this door so I can get my bags. This is, I want to say it was a Tuesday night. They're like, yeah, our next flights out of Pittsburgh are Thursday. So someone will come give you your bags on Thursday. It's Tuesday.
That's a problem.
Yep. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I literally, at this point, now I'm no longer being nice. There's some yelling happening. I had to actually finagle someone from a different airline who knew someone who worked for that airline who had the code to get in the door to get me my fucking bag the next day. So, do not fly Frontier Airlines ever.
Oh, no. I've heard so many stories about the small airlines that don't even cross my mind.
So I did it because it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I had the time. What am I going to do? Miss a flight? I mean, it's no big deal. Yeah, I literally had to. I mean, and we're talking about, we're going to compete. There's suits. There's makeup. There's shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all in bags that they're telling me to go fuck myself on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, of course, you never look up the information on these airlines until this happens to you. Do a quick Google search and everyone's like, you're a fucking moron if you ever fly this airline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact. So yeah.
You see the Google average is 2 stars.
Yeah. And that's because someone from their airline keeps giving them a 5 to bring it up from 0.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. So I feel your pain. Actually, blood pressure is rising. I'm going to go grab some pills real quick. Knock that back down. I'm going to grab some Cartitone and just eat a bottle real fast.
Yeah, so you know, it's
you're not a moron alone is my point.
No, so here's, I gotta say one more thing that I'm real proud of that I didn't think of until the next day. During this entire thing, I don't think my heart rate went over 70.
Well, I mean, realistically, you could only be irritated with yourself.
That's why afterwards I was like, I handled that. Like, I did not let that bother me. Like, there's versions of me, previous versions of me, that would have been so fucking mad at myself. Like, I would have been like, you fucking idiot. I would have dwelled on it and been so pissed off and let it get to me. And you know, and I'm sure on a bad day, I would have even been like, well, get me on this plane. You know, like, I don't know. Everyone's got their moments.
Yeah.
But this time, I just smiled and I was like, I think my plane's about to take off without me. And she's like, oh, what time's your flight? And I go, 6:30. You know, I like smiled right at her. And she
not
just,
tomorrow, in 15 minutes.
She just looks at me. She's like, yeah. And I made a joke out of it and casually rolled out the front, got a hotel shuttle, just like, no problem. You know, 30 minutes later, I'm eating a burger, watching sports highlights at the bar, the hotel, just... No fucks given at all. And that is like my tip of the week, I guess, is man, is if there's nothing you can do, then do nothing.
Well, I mean, if you think about it though, so the only tweak would be you'd be in a more pissed off mood because you still have to do every other thing that you had to do.
It changes nothing, right?
Yeah,
in that
for
situation,
sure.
Letting it get to you, letting the fucking frustration or it, you know, you got to try to remember when you're in a situation when it changes nothing.
Yeah.
And then it's only a detriment to you because you're alone, like traveling alone.
Yeah. It's just done. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do. So it's like, well, I guess I'm fucking, you know, crashing in a hotel again. Like, whatever.
One, I've never done that before. Just never stayed in a hotel.
For one night open. Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. So yeah, just, you know, my little tip of the week, I was a little proud of myself. That's, I just wanted to make sure I made that point because, yeah, man, there's times when I wouldn't have handled it as well.
Right. Yeah. I think that most of us have had those. But yeah, I'm good as long as it's my fault. But when it's someone else's, we got problems. Like,
yeah,
I did not handle the door is shut 1 minute ago and we're leaving it shut because fuck you.
Right.
At all. That I was probably closer to handcuffs than I was to getting on the plane at that point. Because I literally looked at the lady and I was like, I will give you $100 cash. Open the door.
Right. Right.
Like, this is because this is, you know what bothers me about those scenarios, though, is that's not an FAA thing. That's your airline.
That's their policy.
That's a policy, which means, and this is something I learned from running and owning businesses. I put policies in place so I can enforce them when I want to. Right. I can change them. No one's getting fired. Nothing. You know what I mean? And when you're in a scenario where it's like, okay, they're literally 2 minutes past, we're still 3 minutes above FAA rules.
Right.
We pop this open. They get on the flight. You know, the next flight by our airline will not put them in time to do what they're doing.
Right. Yeah. Just
let's just do service. The right fucking thing here.
It's like dress
that
code.
Shit pisses me off.
It's like dress code at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, you use it when you know the guy's like probably a shit bag.
Yeah, for sure. All of a sudden you're like, neck tattoo. No.
Well, back in the day, nowadays, I mean, like Instagram chicks have. So,
yeah. Well, she you know. Seems nice.
There you go. So tell us, how has your life changed in the last week since you added Donna?
This. Do you hear this?
Oh, yeah. Never...
And the problem is Harvey gets the brunt of it. She's the vocal one, and he's the one that gets in trouble.
Right.
Because he's on her, which that was the whole purpose of getting her, was because he... All right, so I've got, I live in condos, right. And basically two doors over is another Yorkie. Harvey goes over there and just shy of knocks on the door to get Lulu to come out and play. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get another one. It's not that big of a deal. I'll handle it. They'll both be in for training soon, so this will all end at some point. But right now, it's a lot. Taking in a lot right now, you know?
It's
a lot of sound. I don't really like sound. I don't know if people have realized this. I don't need noises. Like, you know, when people are like, oh, like, you know, people have kids, they're like, eventually you tune it out. I'm like, I will never, ever, ever tune that shit out.
You need to watch a bunch of.
If I do, I'm mad at myself.
You got to watch like a bunch of like, you know, good fatherhood movies or dog movies, you know, watch like Turner and Hooch and Three Men and a Baby.
Well, the problem is when you get these things going, right, it's a 2-pound dog. So as I'm screaming at her, then they look at you for 2 seconds and you're like, fuck. And I lose again. And I'm right back to ground zero. You're cute. God damn it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shocking. A woman in my life. And that's how it works.
Give you the
everything
right look.
Everything is circular with me. You know, I'm about to, sure, you can have that. Fuck. So. Yeah.
You're a very generous soul.
Weak. Yes, that's the word you're looking for. Weak.
Weak.
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott McDaniel here. I'm going to break into this episode of It's Just Bodybuilding with our boys, Ron and Dusty, as they hang out and be badasses. I'm gonna cut in here just to shout out our sponsor really quick, so I will make it brief. Anyway, guys, TrueNutrition.com. They are the reason that we can keep the lights on here at Advices Radio and at Think Big Bodybuilding Media. These guys are third-party tested. You can get just about any freaking protein under the sun, from all the stuff we traditionally use in bodybuilding, from whey protein isolate to casein to, you know, egg protein to beef. They have beef collagen. You can even get vegan proteins. I actually like the pea protein isolate. It's a very high quality. It's hard to find a pea protein isolate. Most of the time you find a concentrate, which has a lot of extra carbs. They even have cricket protein. If you try the cricket protein, you have to tell me what that's all about, because I'm not man enough. It's just, it's not going to happen. But I'm sure they have a flavor that would make it work, because True Nutrition has a ton of flavors too. Anyway, guys, so do check out True Nutrition. They have great wholesale pricing. And with our code ADVICES, you can get some additional savings on top of that. And of course, it lets them know that you support what we are doing here with the podcasting and with the new video channel. All right, guys, let's get back to the boys.
So I did this morning I woke up and realized, hey, we don't have a guest. So I just threw up a let's get some questions going yes. post, and I got a handful. Did you happen to
I have some, but I'm very happy to hear yours. I have some that I collected throughout the week from DMs and stuff.
Yes. So you're a collector. Yeah. I like to wait to the last second, opposite of Mark Bell, have no idea what's happening,
right,
and jump on.
Okay.
So let's get some of these going, and then there's going to be some that tie into some other plans that I had that I discussed with you already about our lifestyle.
Yes.
Segments, we'll call it. So, yes, sir. Let's get these cracking. Yeah. I have
You go first.
Okay. There's a lot, so I hope you're ready. Well, this one's very fitting for what you just discussed. What is this going on with these people? You know what I mean? Okay. There it comes. This is actually one that I like. Someone wants to know, what do you need to improve yourself in 2020 as a person?
Oh.
And you're already not shouting at people, so that's, I guess you're done. Nice job.
I'm definitely ahead 21-0.
Right.
But there's a lot of year left.
Mm.
You know? Improve myself as a person. That's an excellent question. I mean, that you could go pretty deep on that. I'd say one thing I mentioned on Mark Bell's PowerCast that I thought I would touch on is I've read a bit about the concept of not giving yourself enough credit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think that, you know, just from things that I've been reading, that can be a detriment too, right? I just mean personally, I don't mean like trying to take credit publicly. I just mean like having a moment where you give yourself some credit, you know?
Yeah.
So that's actually something I'm trying to do, because I have a habit of self-talking like, oh, I got lucky on that one.
Right.
Or like, oh man, that guy really helped me out.
Yeah.
Or, if it wasn't for those people, I wouldn't have been able to do this.
Did you ever notice that, You do that with yourself, but then with other people, you're like, man, you fucking, if they did the exact thing that you did,
like, good job,
you'd have been telling them how great they did.
Yeah.
And how, if they wouldn't have had that mindset or that attitude, they wouldn't have got it with you. You're like, fucking lightning struck.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's really funny how we do that to ourselves. But you got to remember that the way you give people credit for what they accomplished, it's because, they had the idea. They started the ball rolling. They delegated the tasks. They had the vision. They, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you don't do it to yourself. You thank everyone around you all the time, or whoever helped you, or say you got lucky. But, luck is when opportunity meets being prepared.
Right.
You know, and we make our own luck, all that stuff. And, and then the relationships we form with people, the way we treat other people, the way we make people want, the way we make other people feel, all that stuff, has an effect on our relationships with everyone. So then when opportunities come up, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason behind, like you said about, well, thank God these people were here. They were only there because you weren't an asshole or whatever it was that put you in a position where they... I do notice for me, I never really worry about, I don't worry about anything, but if something came up where I need something, I just know I have someone that will handle it. You know what I mean? And I think that does come from whatever the things you are talented at or whatever it is that you bring to people. You've given out enough that it can come back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've never been nervous calling someone and needing a favor or needing something that they might not do it. And not necessarily because they owe, but just energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I might have never done anything for them, but they're just down. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
So I think that's kind of what you mean when you point out like, oh, well, thank God those people were there. Well, they were there for you because of, like you said, the energy that you bring or things you've done. And people just want to be a part of something that's positive. You know, I mean, think about your gym and the amount of people that are willing to help you guys or do things or I watch your guys' members post about the gym. And because you've created it as a family, as a whatever you want to call it, a club, so to speak, community, they feel like they're a part of it. Like, I could see someone at your gym, like, if somebody came in and disrespected the gym, I could see multiple members being like, whoa, not here.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's you know, I mean, it transforms the atmosphere, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's funny that you forget that when you're crediting the fact that you guys built that place.
Yeah.
It didn't have that before it became West Coast Iron. I trained there before.
Right. I know what you mean.
You know, so yeah, that's a solid answer on that, man. And it's interesting because it's not, I have a similar, I don't even call it a goal, but it's something that sits in the back of my head. I work with my clients and I'm sure you do too. I feel like the majority of the transformation I see in clients starts in mindset. And mm-hmm. then, because I'm not really worried about them knowing how to eat eight ounces of chicken. Like, that doesn't take talent. But I do make sure to hammer clients. Like, they're like, oh, well, this looks like shit or that. And I'm like, oh, I can't have you like knocking the shit out of yourself every time you send an update.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they'll send me an update. And even if they know they've improved, I get the list of the things that suck or need to keep coming. And I'm like, hey, that's not a great way to look at this. Here's what you need to do. But it's funny because I do the exact same thing.
Like, right.
You know, and so I think there's a line between that I'm working on between being a realist and beating the shit out of yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I do think that those things are limiting. And it is true. Like they say, like, be careful how you talk about yourself because you're always listening.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about joking and like, I know some people say, oh, don't even joke about it. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
No, no, I self-deprecate all the time.
I promise I have an ego that barely fits in the room. Like, I can self-deprecate and be an egomaniac at the same time. It's fine. But some people take it too far. But I do think there's a point where you have to look and say the positives as well. So I think that that's something I'm working on is even with bodybuilding and stuff or business, because you're constantly, I'm always striving for more. And something Dante gave me shit about a couple of years ago is when I set a goal and I know I'm going to get to it, I set the next one. I don't even get to it first.
You don't take time to celebrate your accomplishments either.
Mm-mm. No, because I already know I'm going to get there and it's, I want to go further. So I just set another one. And at one point he literally was like, you got to stop.
That's like, exactly the same thing really in a different way of wording it. You're not giving yourself credit.
Yeah,
you're not taking that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for, and he told me, he goes, I'm not telling you to throw a fucking party, but just take a second and go, nice. You know, that's done. And I think that that's a personality trait that a lot of, I'm going to use this word loosely, successful people have, because striving is what we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the game. I think that's why bodybuilding is so addicting for a lot of us is you can't win. Phil Heath wins the Olympia, you know, the first year. And what's the first thing they do? What can get better?
Yeah.
How can I be better? You can win with a perfect score and you get done and go, yeah, but I'm not perfect.
And then there's still someone that said the guy shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. I just won with a perfect score in front of a bunch of pro judges. You fucking idiot.
Yeah. Says who? I mean, his Kai Greene's mother had me winning this show.
Yeah. Kai's mom was like, sorry, babe.
Yeah, this is not how it's going to be. But no, I mean, I think that that's something that I want to work on. And like you said, I also think that the luck thing, like I've always found with people, if they start working, like I always say, if you're slow, like with us, with online training, put in a ton of effort with your current clients, like more than usual for a week. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you want to call it, but all of a sudden I get more people emailing me wanting to work. It just seems to magically put out energy that says do more. And when you sit on your ass, isn't it amazing that nothing happens?
Yep.
So yeah, that was a good question, man. I dig it. And I think we have a similar answer, even though, weren't looking at it that way. I'm going to give you,
shoot.
Yeah, I got one too.
I don't want to miss this one. Well, it's a relationship question, Dusty.
Oh boy, I got this.
So I've actually had a few questions that were kind of like this, like just worded differently. Uh-huh. But this one says, my girlfriend and I just broke up, but neither one of us wants to leave the gym we train at. Sometimes we're there at the same time and it really interrupts my workouts. Any advice?
Okay, this is simple. Do you still have a key to her car? If so, put some cocaine in there and have her get pulled over.
Right.
No, wait. No. My bad. But don't do. Sorry. I was just trying to get her out of the gym. That's not good. You know what? I'm terrible at this because, like, truthfully, I can understand that. I can understand the energy shift there.
They don't want to leave the gym. That's their gym. That's the good gym.
Yeah, and apparently that, you know, they probably met at the gym or from being at the same time, so that's their time to train.
You know, they probably both have jobs and they're there at 5:30 or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah, no, that's a tricky one because that is a reason that I've talked to some people about, like, don't date from the gym. Like, don't find them there at least, because, you know, now it's like dating someone at work. Well, now somebody needs to quit.
Well, maybe this is a good argument to have that second gym membership that you go go fish at.
All right,
go fish over advice. at the health club. You go fish once in a while, but then you go back to your gym and you pull your hat down like this, and
maybe you bring one of your catches from the other gym to this gym at the same time.
What if they love it too much?
Who? You're just getting rid of the ex.
Oh.
You're just pissing her off. This is
I'm
not
talking about the new one.
She's there on a pass, dude. She got a weak pass. She's out of here. You're not even really keeping her. Collateral damage. I have no good advice for this scenario because I would.
Dusty's like, I have no advice because I wouldn't know what to do. I would behave poorly.
You know, you know what's weird though? I mean, truthfully, is when I go to the gym, I go to work.
Yeah.
And if it affected my work, because I am actually, I tease, but I mean, you know, I would be emotionally invested in that situation. It would be difficult for me. I would probably, if I was affecting my work, I would go somewhere else. Like, sounds nuts, but for me, like, if she's not going anywhere for me, then, and it's my problem. I mean, obviously, it sounds like if it wasn't a mutual split, then it sounds like he still has something in the scenario and wishes would be there. It's bothering him that she's there. If he had nixed her out, he wouldn't give a shit. So if that's the case, then, you know, I would just switch gyms for a while until I got over it and then roll back, because obviously you can't change your emotion. I mean, if it's affecting your focus, then it's ruining your workout.
You're sort of lucky because you have a couple gyms that are good, you know, so you could, I mean, you could just
hundreds.
So, you know, I mean, like, you know, if you were dating a girl, chances are she's only going to one of your three gyms. So you could just train at the other two for a while, you know?
It would suck. Time of day of training. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It would suck if you were like in like a smaller town and there was literally one good gym and then like two shit gyms. Yeah. You're like, fuck.
Now you have to move. I mean, this has gotten really inconvenient.
Well, I kind of know what that's like. I mean, I've had, you know, the experience of having like an ex-girlfriend in the gym, you know, but I would just, you know, don't take the leg press next to her. Maybe
take the one she's using.
Right. Maybe go down the other end and do some Smith squats or something. I don't know. Just try to stay out of each other's hair. I'm pretty good at coexisting with people, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm nice to everyone, even though I like this many people. And I'm joking, and Dusty's like, very accurate. No, I get along with everybody, but, you know, I'm pretty good at tolerating, you know, the situations like that and not letting them get to me. Just stay out of her hair. And I think also, too, maybe in that situation, if one of the people is sort of wants the other one back, mm-hmm. then there might be grabs for attention.
Right.
And you just can't feed those because then they'll keep coming.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a tough one. You have to admit. I mean, that because obviously the person is, if it's bothering you. See, that's one thing that you're really good at, man, and much better than me is even with situations in life that do affect you. You're very good, I think, from your upbringing, your mother, your father, of like, yeah, but I got to fucking work. Like, right. this has to be done. And you're very good at compartmentalizing that, because if a job needs to be done, a job needs to be done.
Yeah, it's pushing it down, forcing it down, trapping the emotions.
The opposite of what your counselor would say is really what Ron kicks ass at.
You know, worry about it 20 years later.
When you're paying a different counselor, it's going to be fine. Those gains are long gone after that.
Oh, yeah. Man, oh, man.
So, no, that's actually a solid one. I gotta read this question. Okay. And I'm sorry for putting you on blast, dude, but I have to read this, and then we're not going to answer it. Do not come on here and say, and I quote, are there any tips on finding a legit source for gear? Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yes. I mean, the most legit way I could think of is become a police officer. Bust someone who has a great stack of gear. And now you've got legit shit because you know where it was shipped in from. You know the raws were proper.
Right,
I'm sure
right.
that's the – I mean, how are you going to ask me that, dude? Sorry. That bothered me. I read it and I was like
– most stuff is bathtub garbage anyways. That's my opinion.
All right. Here's one for you. How do you suggest in reducing anxiety? Now, they didn't give me any other angle, just how to reduce anxiety.
Well, I mean, things that I know reduce anxiety. I guess the term – well, meditation – I mean, I don't really tell people that I meditate, but I do, I guess I do meditate. I just don't call it that. But I take like moments where I'll just sit for a few minutes and try to clear my head, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess there are little meditative moments, you know, turn your phone off. Sometimes just almost like you're having a little nap, but I know I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm just trying to like relax.
Right.
That's important. I think that putting effort into building a habit of being on time would help so many people that have anxiety.
Right.
Like, you don't have anxiety. You're late for everything all the time. And it stresses you out. It's your own fault.
Which, I mean, just to factor in, you late doesn't have to just mean time either. Late could be, right. you know,
rushed.
I'm even breaking down even further as, you know, if you have certain amount of bills due and you spend too much fucking money, then you don't have enough money on time
right.
to pay your bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I do agree with that.
Yeah. So yeah, you're boiling it down to like, man, people spend so much money on stuff they don't need. Mm-hmm. People buy way too many fucking things. And, you know, the movie Fight Club.
Yes.
You know, I mean, what a classic, amazing fucking movie that is. And you could watch that movie 10 fucking times and see new things every time.
Right.
And, I mean, that movie had that, you know, we work all day to pay for things we don't need to impress people we don't like.
Yep.
And if you can just let go of that, I think that's one of the reasons why I generally think I'm happy all the time, pretty much all the time. I mean, I'm upset and stressed out and worried and, you know, just like everyone else, but I generally feel like I'm happy all the time.
Right.
And I just have a super simple life. And I think people just complicate everything. I'm busy. I have 3-4 sources of income I have to manage.
Right.
Right. But, you know, I'm not stressed. I'm not fucking anxious all the time. So yeah, that's my tip.
Yeah, I think when I look at anxiety, I think of separating the things I can control and the things I can't.
Yeah.
Because I feel a lot of people get anxiety over things they can't control. Or like my mother's a prime example. If I have things going on in my life, she gets anxious. And I'm like, it literally has zero effect on you. You know what I mean? You're mm-hmm. pulling in from something else. So I think when you can separate first off things you can't control, and I am really good. If I can't control something, I'm really good at saying, fuck it. It is what it is. And when I've noticed I struggle with anxiety is when I fought that. When I wanted something to be the way I wanted it to be, especially involving other people and trying to control it. And it's just not in your fucking control. You know what I mean? That will cause you anxiety for sure, because you're not, it's impossible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To manage that. So yeah, that's an easy one for me. Why is that not working?
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is. So I'm managing anxiety over a plug that's plugged in and telling me that that my battery's gonna go dead. And I'm like, but it's plugged into the wall.
There we go.
That negatively affects my life if this crashes on me.
Yeah.
Are Maybe we good? Because, well, we're gonna keep going and find out if we're good.
You got the reactor powered up?
I'm trying here. I'm just hoping that that it's not because of these lovely dogs of mine have altered this cable in any way, shape, or form, making it impossible for this charge. If so, we might do a mid-filming switch to my phone. So at any rate, let's roll. Okay. Your turn.
I got a question here. Is there anything that you've done in the gym in the past year that you liked so much you added to your routine or want to add?
Yeah. For me, the simple one was high rep deadlifts for hamstrings.
Oh, okay.
You know, so essentially I took something everyone's done, a deadlift. I saw Evan Santapani doing it with high reps. And I started doing that just one, like the next day that I trained, just to see what I thought. And I could tell my hamstrings got lit up. So I tossed out the finishing movement for the back and just made it like a deadlift without a finish. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So as soon as the weight would transfer to my back, I go back down.
And I thought, you got no lockout.
Yeah, none. Yeah, I mean, literally, it's straight up and down. The bar almost stays on the same plane the entire time. Right. That was nuts for me. My hams lit up. And then I did find, which of course matters to me, my deadlift started shooting through the roof.
Right.
When I was essentially training the hardest part of the dead for the hamstrings on the regular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's definitely mine. I love those things. And I love watching people see me do them, because they're like, he's not doing that right.
Well, I know that everybody's put together a little different. I tried to do those stiff leggeds that you're doing, that kind of with the same form. Mm-hmm. And get that groove, and my back just got so fucking pumped. I couldn't even fucking crawl into my car.
Which of course is so funny, because in my head I'm like, I do it this way so my back has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it was funny. I was like that crippled lower back, crazy pump. But I also have to take responsibility for the fact that I don't really directly train my lower back a lot anymore.
Right.
Not in the same way I used to. I mean, I do bent rows and I do one arm dumbbells and I do T-bars, but I don't really deadlift anymore.
Right.
And so I did them and I was just fucking blown out. My lats were super pumped too. Just, I think the way I held the bar.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, fuck, you're just disgusting on those. Like what? 5 plates for 20?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 plates. Yeah. Yeah. 5 plates for 20. fucking guy. So yeah, they look crazy. So maybe I'll give them another go. But I always love stiff leg deadlifts for hamstrings.
I wonder how you would feel now with those, because you're so lean.
Right. Yeah. Hey, maybe that was part of it. I always do, like, you know, stiff leg deadlifts with my back like pretty arched. You know what right. I mean?
Yeah, so yeah.
That's how I always do them. As far as something I've done this year that I have added, I'll have to admit, you know, I may have cracked a few jokes about them. I may have made fun of them a little bit in a jesting way. And then and then when I tried it, I fucking love it. The fucking side laterals with the cuffs.
Ah. Yeah, those are awesome, right?
Got to admit, there's something about standing, you know, in the cable machine. We use the free motion one, you know, that has the two arms, and we put them super narrow and all the way down.
Yep.
And then it's fucking great.
Yeah, no, I that was definitely one of my favorite steals from Joe that, you know. Mm-hmm. And now I want to use them all over the place. Like, I don't know what it is about eliminating the hands. Because in my brain, that does nothing.
Well, it doesn't seem like it should. But for me, eliminating the hands, I've always had just a little bit of fucking tennis elbow that never, ever went away.
Right.
And so it's like a side lateral movement that I can get maximum tension on through the full range without having to hold onto a weight.
Right.
So my forearm's just completely fine. Like, I don't even know there's a problem, you know? Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely an awesome, both of those are beautiful setup movements. So now I got to throw one more. You got me temporarily. I'm also watching my battery and worried, just for the record. I don't know how the hell that, I think that the dog's actually chewed through just enough that it's not powering up. So we're not going to get to it quite as long as we like to today,
okay.
I have a feeling.
Okay.
This is an easy one, but I'm just gonna let you answer because it's important. Tips to lower blood pressure. Thanks for everything.
Stop eating fast food. For me, that's just a kicker.
Right.
I can eat restaurant food, but it's like fast food seems to like move my blood pressure if I have it all the time, obviously.
Right.
Body weight. So if you just, you know, if you got a blood pressure problem and you're really fucking bulking, you know, like you're pushing the weight and you're pretty full of fluid, maybe just back off on the food for a week and get some water off you.
Yep.
You know, just like let your body weight drop down. You know, when you're maxed out in weight, it's really easy to drop 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Like in a week. You can just drop 10 pounds by, you know, going from 2 cups of rice to 1 cup of rice for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll drop 10 pounds when you're big like that. But sometimes you do that and it's like, oh, it's normal.
Yeah.
Are you doing a bit of cardio? Because a bit of cardio will move it. Just some exercise. Like, you don't have to be, you can do a bit of HIIT or you could just walk on the fucking treadmill. Sometimes that's enough. If you're an office worker or something, just a bit of cardio.
Yep.
And you know, lose a bit of weight, move a bit more.
Yeah. Those are the easy, I mean, those are your basics that cover everything. And then supplement wise, look up Cardatone.
Yes. There you go. So yeah.
That is a OTC that will, when I first started taking it, was taking one in the morning, one at night. And I was checking my blood pressure every 3 days in the morning. And it took about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks when I first took it. And I just wasn't taking my blood pressure. I don't know what I was thinking. So I took it and I had to call Dante. I'm like, my blood pressure is low. And he's like, what do you mean low? I'm like, no, it's low. Like, it has to come up. And he's like, well, how many are you taking? I said 2. He's like, oh, fuck. Okay. Back goes that, like, you could, it actually did enough to take me from slightly high to too low. So,
that's funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I think it's funny that so many people understand the importance of blood pressure and then don't have their own monitor.
Right.
Like, we're not talking about a $5,000 piece of machinery here. I mean, Amazon.
Yeah, like, done. Aren't they like $75? I don't even know what I paid for mine.
Yeah. And you can have it like tomorrow. So yeah, awesome thing to have. But yeah, I mean, that supplement is phenomenal and cheap. And everyone I've put it on has seen a change. Now, if you've got terrible blood pressure, I'm not telling you you aren't ever going to need a prescription, depending on if you aren't willing to change other things in your life. But I have had clients who were on prescription meds, and between the diet and Cardatone, I got them off of them.
Yeah.
You know, which is always the goal, is to get off of anything that's, you know, essentially saying you're fucked, so we're going to just take a pill to fix it.
Yeah. I met a dude the other day that's off his insulin.
Yep.
He was a diabetic. He was like 350 pounds and now he's 240 and he lost 100 pounds. He's not a diabetic anymore.
Yeah. It doesn't even need it.
It's fucking crazy.
Yep. Speaking of, that's a question I had. So I'm just going to steal one more question right now. Insulin during prep, yay or nay?
I don't use it with most, I don't use it unless someone is really kind of like wants to try a bit of it or something. And the only thing I would do during prep is just for high carb days.
Yep.
I'm just not much of a fan of insulin, to be honest. I mean, it works on a high carb day. Like if you're trying to like quickly ram carbs in,
yep.
I think you can get a good effect from it. And I also think if you just use it to carb up, and not for the show even, I'm just saying on a high carb day.
Yep.
If you're just using it to kind of quickly refill, then I think that's when it's most effective because you can just use a little bit and you're not you're not burned out on it. You just take a little bit, it works, you're nice and sensitive still, and then you go back on dieting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like for the day.
Yeah, I look at the year that I went to 330. I mean, fuck. You know, I don't think I needed to go that high, obviously, you know, and there's a lot of water on me. But that was, you know, probably pretty rough on my body.
Right. Oh, for sure.
You know, and I just don't think it helped. You know, my stage weight wasn't 10 pounds higher.
That's, I think, people mess up on. It's Chris and I were just joking about that recently with another well-known trainer. Is guy pushed someone up 50 pounds in their off season, and they were on stage 1 pound heavier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been there. I've had it. I've been through it. You know what I mean?
I really think that there's a point where you have to ask yourself, okay, if I get so heavy, how much longer will my prep have to be? Or how much harder will my prep have to be? Oh, and yeah. How much of this newly gained tissue am I going to diet right back off because I got so much fucking fat to lose too? It's a tricky line because I talk out of both sides of my mouth. I'm a proponent of not being afraid to put on some weight.
Yes.
But I also think there's a point of you just fell in love with a scale.
Totally.
Because you need to me, and it's something I stole from Dorian, I know you've heard it. If you don't have measurable change in a month, there's something wrong with your program. Well, if you're so heavy that I can't see what's going on, then I don't know if you're getting measurable change. And don't tell me, yeah, but I'm up 10 pounds. I love when people say that, because I put a post up recently and said, somebody asked, what is a good goal to put on, like a heavy goal for weight in a year? And I said 12 pounds of tissue. And to me, that's enormous. And I had multiple people send back to me and be like, you're kidding, right? That's like for a girl. And I'm like, no, that's for like a newbie guy. Because if I could put on 4 pounds, I'd be ecstatic.
Fuck, dude. 1 pound when you're in the 20th year of your training, like a pound of hamburger added to your fucking delts and quads. Like,
I think it's a funny way of saying
it still
that.
Makes
it's
a difference.
When people say like 12 pounds and they say it's not too much, now go stack 12 pounds of filet on your table and then say, now spread that over your body. How are you don't think that's a lot?
12 pounds of hamburger.
I'm about to lose you on this, just so you know.
Okay, we'll do it. Well, you got your Skype on your phone opened?
Yeah, I'm going to have to flip this open and log it in here. So hold, please. I'm going to call you right back.
No worries.
It's kind of cool. I'm here and I'm not here. I can't see you anymore.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But it's letting me go. All right. I'm going to log on and then I'll call you from the Skype on the phone.
Okay.
Adios.
And my email address, I don't know if you've seen, but is not accepting emails at the moment. So I can't even get the received changes. I tried to do it through a different email. And finally, when I get all the work, it's cool. You'll know within 24 hours.
Oh, shit.
Doesn't help me. So yeah, we have no way for me to re-log back in on Skype
for 24 hours. So everybody, Dusty hasn't logged into Skype on his phone ever. So when he went to do it, he didn't know the password. And the recovery email is his email that he's currently having problems with.
Yes.
If you've been on his Instagram, you've seen that he's told his clients, hey, my email's not working. So he's got to wait 24 hours to get into Skype again. So, you know, we got to wrap the show. But that's just how it goes, you know?
Yes. I think it was still a fitting end. They kind of, everybody will get a chance to see how this all unfolded. And, I mean, but there is a bigger question here. And it's like the whole, I mean, Dusty has a new dog. And it looked like a lot of fun at the start of the show. And now I'm thinking, look, I was thinking I wanted a dog. I wanted a new dog. And now I'm second thinking that whole thing, you know?
How many things will it chew through?
Right.
Well, that's how it rolls. So he's figuring that out. And we'll see you next week. We're going to have a guest on It's Just Bodybuilding. And, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you again.